Hello, and welcome back to Self-Care MD. This is Dr. Beth, and I have with me today Anne-Marie Bringhurst. She is a doTERRA Gold consultant. She sells essential oils, and she's been using them and getting really interested in the company of doTERRA since about 2012. She has two small children, and I think this is probably the reason that she came to embrace doTERRA and the essential oils in her life. So welcome, Anne-Marie. Thanks for coming.
Hi, Beth. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be on this call with you.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. And I want to say, as physicians, I know, and it, you know, in the healthcare industry, we see a lot of people come in using essential oils, and they want to know if they're safe in their conditions and in pregnancy. And I'd have to say we are very uneducated about them.
Absolutely.
A lot of physicians may be afraid of saying that it's okay to use them. And so I wanted to bring you on to get the skinny. And get the lowdown of really what is an essential oil and what do we need to know about them. So to start
Great.
Off, can you explain what is an essential oil there?
Absolutely. So essential oils are natural aromatic compounds that are derived from plants, and they can be extracted from different parts of the plant, either the leaf, the root, the berry, the fruit. And depending on where you extract these essential oils, you can receive different chemical constituents, and so different properties that can help the body. So a lot of people will ask, are these safe? And mostly that's because they don't understand how to use them. So basically, you're just eating or using the concentrated plant product. And so they are safe because they come from a natural source, and your body knows how to assimilate a living entity into the body.
Mm-hmm.
I have worked with our pediatrician. One of my big goals for our personal family was to not use synthetic ingredients and to not have to be on any prescriptions, just to not have the body have to process that much. So we do work closely with our pediatrician, and I do encourage everybody to not use essential oils without working closely with a physician to make sure that you're being monitored. But I will, like you mentioned, a lot of physicians aren't educated with essential oils, and so their initial response is just to say, no, we're going to go with what I'm educated with and what I know, which typically are prescription medications. So if you are looking to replace anything, work closely with your doctor so you're being monitored as you make the transition, or just as you're making sure that the health and wellness is okay while you're going through this process of using essential oils.
Right. So from a healthcare practitioner standpoint, inviting it to be a conversation instead of being unilateral, no, don't use them, we can only do what I'm comfortable with, because they probably aren't going to hurt anything.
Yeah, so here's an example. My son had some pain in his ear, and we went to our pediatrician, and she did see some redness, and she recommended a prescription for us to help him overcome that. And I really resisted because I didn't want him to have any prescriptions, and I asked her, how long would you be willing to work with this for us as we use certain essential oils to help address
the symptoms,
those environmental assaults that he was dealing with. And she said, 3 days is about good, other than that, we'd be worried about it progressing or getting worse. And so I scheduled an appointment for 3 days later so that we could be under constant diagnosis and care. And when I came back in 3 days later, she said, he looks great. I don't recommend anything further at this point. And so I wanted to make sure that I wasn't putting my child at risk and that we were following through with an expert. But at the same time, I was incorporating the natural health care modalities that I wanted to use for my family. So.
Right. Right. So collaboration for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think people are so attracted to the oils?
Well, it wasn't until about the last 100 years that this whole better living through chemistry philosophy evolved. And people started, hospitals became easier to access, and pharmaceutical companies started popping up. Prior to that, people did use essential oils and herbs. You know, there's hundreds of references to essential oils in the Bible. So they were very prevalent, and they were used widely. In Egypt, you know, frankincense was dubbed, it was more valuable than gold because of all of the healing properties that it contained. And so it's definitely progressed. It used to be essential oils and herbs used to be the number one go-to because that's all they had. And then people started going more towards pharmaceuticals. But now we're realizing that maybe those aren't the safer or the better option. And so it's kind of coming full circle, and I find a lot of people wanting to go back to the natural medicines that the earth provides.
Right. Well, even the story of the wise men, two of those were essential oils.
Exactly.
And you know, whether they were the actual sap of the myrrh or the oil, I don't think we'll ever know. But if the wise men were bringing them, there's a good chance they were oils because they were highly refined and probably not what was just lying around, which is the sap form of the myrrh.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I will tell you that my second child had both frankincense and myrrh on him within the first 15 minutes of his birth. So I can tell you that those are two that are very handy to have during that time. So.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Why did he have those on?
Well, we used myrrh to help seal off his umbilical cord and help with the health of the umbilical cord. And then we also put frankincense on his head to help with a little bit of the molding and slight bruising. And just down his spine as well to help with his overall emotional health. Yeah.
It sounds like frankincense has a lot of widespread uses.
Absolutely. Frankincense is part of my daily routine. I like to put a couple drops under my tongue every morning, and I do apply it to my children as well. Yeah, frankincense is really supportive of emotional balance, the immune system, the nervous system.
Okay. And you see that it makes a difference in your children?
Absolutely. It makes them a little bit happier, and I will take a little bit happier any day of the week. So backing up a little bit, I just kind of brush over a couple things. And I do want to just make sure that people have a little bit more understanding about essential oils, because I do have a lot of people that say, well, I use herbs and I drink teas, so what's the difference with essential oils? And just so people know, essential oils are a very concentrated version of that herb. So, for example, if we're looking at peppermint, a lot of people know that peppermint can ease the occasional upset stomach. And when people make a peppermint tea, they're basically just crushing up the peppermint leaves. When you use an essential oil, you're actually extracting those little oil sacs off the peppermint leaf. And one drop of peppermint essential oil is the equivalent to 28 cups of peppermint tea. That's how much more concentrated it is. So you can have a really strong therapeutic response with a very small amount of essential oils. And so they're also extremely cost-effective. A couple things I do want to mention is some of the things that I'm referring to about how I use essential oils are strictly for doTERRA because of their quality and purity. They extract their oils. They source their oils from the regions where they're naturally occurring. So you know that they're grown at the optimal environment. And we work really closely with our growers and our distillers to ensure that there aren't any chemicals added, any synthetic ingredients. They're not diluted, with the exception of a few blends that do have a carrier oil included in them. All of our oils are pure, and because of that, we can take them internally. And so I just want to make sure that when you do get a bottle of essential oil, that you're making sure that there is a supplemental fact box on there saying that it is safe for internal use so that you know that the quality and purity is present.
Mm-hmm. Because you wouldn't want to take just anything internally.
Absolutely not. A lot of, well, because essential oils are regulated by the FDA under health and beauty products, they're not regulated under pharmaceuticals. So in order for a bottle of essential oil to say 100% pure therapeutic grade, there only has to be 8% essential oil in the bottle, and the rest of it can be anything of their choosing. And because of that, a lot of essential oil companies will put not for internal use, not because essential oils are not safe to take internally. It's simply for the reason that they don't have to disclose all of their ingredients or the dilution of those oils by making that claim.
Right. Yeah, good. Good detail to, to our attention to. So one thing that keeps sort of niggling at me is, you know, plants are plants, and there are plants that are poisonous, and there are plants that are used as chemotherapy, like the vinca plant, the periwinkle. And so it seems like the Terra or whichever company that makes these oils would only distill out the oils that we would be safe with. Is that, do you consider that in line with what they teach?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. So there are a lot of plants that aren't safe to be, that are dangerous to us. And a great example of that is our arborvitae essential oil. The arborvitae comes from Canada, from the great cedarwood forest. And there's a chemical constituent in the needles on that cedar tree. And we extract our essential oil from the bark. The bark is safe for us, but the other part of the tree is not. And so that's why it's really important to be with a company that you trust, that understands what is safe and what isn't, and they've done their research. And so I trust doTERRA implicitly to know that they're not only sourcing their oils properly, but that they're only exposing us to essential oils that are safe and work well with our body chemistry.
Right. Right, good, thank you. And so what could we see as some potential side effects of essential oils? And I'll go into this with a little story about how recently I was feeling ill and I was talking to you and you reminded me that oregano would be really good to take because, you know, when you really get knocked down, you can't even think. And you did remind me to take things rich in probiotics because there was potential with long-term use of oregano altering that. What are some other side effects, if you can think of any?
So like I mentioned, essential oils are very, very safe. But there are a few exceptions. These are powerful plant medicines. And so a couple just safety things that I do want to mention. And first and foremost, I always recommend that before you dive headfirst, you know, when you get that bottle, smell the oil and see, do you like the way it smells? Do you want more of it, or is it really off-putting to you? Because your brain is smart, and your brain knows what your body needs and understands your body chemistry. So if you smell an essential oil and it smells really, really good to you, chances are there's ingredients in that essential oil, there's chemical constituents in that essential oil that are going to work really well with your body chemistry, and chances are things that your body really needs at that time. So there are a couple safety things just to keep in mind. Absolutely, oregano can change your gut a little bit, and so I always recommend probiotics, regardless if you're of what's going on. Probiotics are great for daily use. Citrus oils can cause a little photosensitivity in the sun, so you never want to put any citrus oils topically and then go outside. You typically want to wait about 12 to 24 hours before exposing the skin to sun after using a citrus oil topically. Wintergreen is extracted from the bark and has similar ingredients as aspirin, so it does have some slight blood thinning properties. So not that, you know, if you use it one time, you're fine, but if that was an issue for you, you wouldn't want to use wintergreen consistently, right?
Or before surgery.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. A couple other things that I can just think of with pregnant moms, clary sage can help get contractions going, which is fabulous when you've hit that 40-week mark and you're ready to have that baby and be done. But a couple things to know is that typically, because these are natural plant products and they work with the body, they don't force the body to do something it's not comfortable with, that clary sage isn't going to kick in until both mom and baby are ready. However, just as a precaution, I do recommend steering clear of it during pregnancy. Postpartum, peppermint can decrease milk supply. So if you're done nursing and you're ready to get rid of that milk, then awesome. Peppermint can help decrease that milk supply. But if you are nursing or struggling with milk supply, using peppermint consistently can reduce your milk supply. And so if that happens to you, fennel is a great oil to boost it back up. But just those are the ones that, you know, pop out the most for using any precautions. Other than that, there aren't really any contraindications between any of the, maybe anything that you're currently taking and incorporating essential oils into your daily routine. The biggest thing that I can recommend to people is to do your own research, is to get online and keep in mind that with the internet, anybody with an opinion can have a blog or can post, so make sure that you are looking at reputable sites and specifically sites for the essential oil company that you're using specifically. So I go directly to doTERRA.com for my information about how to use their oils and what is safe. We have a chief medical advisor and a medical advisory board of physicians that are actively using these oils in their practices, and I listen to them to hear what is safe, because they are talking specifically about their essential oil brand. So just be careful about all the information out on the internet. But really, the best thing that you can do is to do your own research, see how the oils work with you, and then you're heading down that road of empowerment, of being empowered to be in charge of your own health and empowered to have the knowledge of how to use these oils. Because like you mentioned, Beth, a lot of physicians don't understand them and don't have any training with essential oils, and so their initial reaction is going to be just to say not to use them, and that's because they just don't have the education. So a lot of times I recommend bringing in information or printouts, or doTERRA has a great quarterly magazine that goes out. It's called Our Living Magazine, and it has great information about specific oils and information from our medical advisory board. And so that's where you can go to your physician armed with the knowledge of saying, listen, this is the path that I want to go down. I'd like to work hand in hand with you. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, there might be some people that wouldn't be interested in that, but I think reasonable people would.
Yeah. Well, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong because you're coming from the other side, but what I have found is that when I go in and I've been kind of wishy-washy, like, oh, I think I want to do these, there's less support there. But when I come in with information, educated, I feel like my physician has always been more willing and able to work with me because they see that I've already done a lot of research and that I've met him more than halfway.
Right, right. And we like research.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think that this is, it's really great to see this this society moving in this direction and looking more towards the earth and plants to work with our health and wellness versus just relying on, you know, what the healthcare system has been able to serve up to us for the last year or 100 years,
right.
I mean. So, right. But it really does go back to the individual, and what works for me may not work for you. And so you really have to check in with your body. You have to get in tune and do your own research to figure out what you're comfortable with and what your body's comfortable with.
Right. So I'd like to take a little bit of time and go through just a few oils. And if you could discuss their properties, their origins, maybe if you know how they've been used historically, and I'd like to do the really common ones because these are the ones that we're going to encounter every day and we might want to bring into our own lives. So I think probably the one that people know about the most is lavender.
Oh, yes. Our lavender is sourced from the high altitudes of France. Lavender is supportive of overall skin health. It helps support the cardiovascular system. It helps with some emotional balance. It is often used to help the skin recover, to calm and relieve feelings of anxiousness, to help elevate mood, and to also help with sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And minor ear discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love lavender. I use it daily just as part of our evening routine to help my boys settle down and get ready for bed.
Mm-hmm.
I use it in my topical skincare routine to help with, you know, just overall skin health, to some of that aging process.
Uh-huh. That aging process.
Well, slow that down. We do whatever we can to slow that down, right?
Yeah.
But the lavender really is beautiful, and because it isn't diluted, you have a very concentrated version. And so I will often dilute mine with a bit of a carrier oil. I like fractionated coconut oil to dilute the lavender so it can spread over a larger area, but I'm still just using 1 to 2 drops per application.
Okay. Yeah, that's important. And then what's your favorite oil? Is that a difficult question?
It depends on the day, the minute, right, depending on what we need. So I would have to say that frankincense is one of my favorites. It's definitely one that I use daily on my family. It's a beautiful oil. It comes from the resin of the Boswellia sirenia tree. It helps with emotional balance. It helps with the immune system and the nervous system. You know, it helps with seasonal threats and scar healing and head and neck tension. It's an immune strengthener. One of my favorite things I will say about frankincense is that it is sourced from Oman and Somalia. So one of the things that I love about the doTERRA company, because of just a little plug here, but it's their co-impact sourcing. It's the way that they go about sourcing their oils from around the world. Many of the countries that we go into are third world countries, and, you know, poverty is a huge issue. And historically, many of these farmers and distillers were not paid fair wages for the work that they were doing, because doTERRA has been able to cut out these middlemen. We have been able, and we work directly with our growers and distillers, we have been able
to pay really high wages. So we were just sourcing our frankincense from Oman, but recently we went into Somalia because they have a really high quality, beautiful frankincense. And they have reported that the Somalian people have reported that they have been paid four times higher than the highest amount they've ever been compensated for their frankincense. So in addition to changing health and wellness around the world with these oils, doTERRA is also helping these communities that are growing our oils, growing our the plants, to have, you know, financial freedom. And so that is a really beautiful part of what they're doing in the world. So I feel really confident about what my dollar is supporting when I purchase oil from doTERRA.
Right, and so, it's true for communities all over the world, in Nepal and Haiti, and their oils from all over.
Absolutely, and doTERRA, we have a nonprofit organization called the Healing Hands Foundation that is also giving back to these communities. So in addition to being able to pay high, fair wages to our growers, we're also helping boost those communities by building schools and building hospitals and putting in wells. But basically, we're looking at these communities and saying, well, what can we do for you? What do you need? And really helping them to allow us to help in the way that they need the most. So, it's fantastic. Our wintergreen comes from Nepal, and gosh, it was last year sometime that I said, why are they highlighting wintergreen? They were offering a discount. They were putting out lots of education about wintergreen. And when I looked up where wintergreen was sourced, it was sourced in Nepal. So doTERRA had an ulterior motive, but it was to sell more wintergreen so they could put more money back into Nepal so that they could recover from this earthquake. So the company has a lot of integrity, and they're the one that I've researched the most. I know that there are so many companies out there, and everybody has to choose the one that they feel most comfortable with, of course. But my research has led me to doTERRA, and they're who I feel confident with. So.
Yeah.
I got a little off there.
Let's talk about a few other specific oils. the one that I was going to ask you about. Oh, Melaleuca. Yeah, let's talk about that one. And then I wanted to just briefly hit on lemon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, Melaleuca is a really popular one. Many, many people know it by its common name as tea tree oil. But Melaleuca helps support the immune system. It helps support the respiratory system. It's also really good for skin and hair. Some of the more common uses are addressing an irritated throat as a skin cleanser, an immunity strengthener. It's very gentle. It's one that I use on my young children daily, just to help them address those environmental and seasonal threats.
Mm-hmm.
And lemon. Lemon is, once again, one of the favorites. Lemon is cleansing and detoxifying to the body. It tastes fantastic in water, and so I put it in my glass water bottle daily just to help help support the body system and the function, overall function. Lemon is also really great for getting marker off of walls and gum out of hair and pine sap off of your car. It's amazing how powerful one drop can be.
That's so interesting. I remember they had an article in their Living magazine a couple years ago about the oils, how men can use the oils.
Yeah.
And lemon was a big one for, like, cleaning your engine.
It cuts through grease very quickly, of course. And I have a lot of people that will tell me, well, I do lemon in my water every morning anyways. But keep in mind that the juice that you're getting from the lemon is completely different from the essential oils that are cold-pressed from the rind. So I recommend people who do that lemon juice, which is really, really great for clearing out the intestines,
to add a few drops of the lemon essential oil in there, because the lemon essential oil has different properties and are going to support the other, the body in other powerful ways.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So, gosh, do you have anything else to add? Any more oils you want to talk about?
Let's see. I have so many. My daily routine does include lemon first thing in the morning. I like to add a little bit of cardamom and black pepper into my whipped butter coffee. I use the lavender in my skincare routine in the morning. I use frankincense. I do 2 drops under my tongue. I will also put it on the back of the neck of my 2 young children. I just kind of address what's going on throughout the day and determine what else I need. But if anyone was interested in learning more, I would definitely love to chat with them or give them more information or point them in the direction of quality research to make sure mm-hmm. that they're getting good information and not just opinions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good. Thank you so much for coming and joining me today.
You are wonderful, Beth. I'm grateful to have you in my life and have your expertise, and good luck on this journey of transforming the world with natural healthcare solutions.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Thanks,